Blog Talk Radio.
Los Fabulos Cadillacs with Matador. I suggest you look up the lyrics to that song. Not only is that a fantabulous anthem, but fucking great lyrics. A fantastic band. You should definitely check them out. They're called Los Fabulos Cadillacs. Cadillacs, as in the car. Hey, hey, hey. It's Vince in the motherfucking Bay. And I'm going to be your audio erotic host for the next 20-some-odd minutes live, and then I'm going to go probably 10 minutes into overtime. And tonight, we're going to talk about the truth and how much the truth hurts. I was just on a radio program where I attempted to relay the truth to certain individuals who apparently had no interest in hearing the truth. So I decided, what the heck, if I can't tell the truth to the folks on that particular radio show because they're more interested in mocking me, then you know what? I'm going to do my own little radio show and tell the truth myself. And I see that Vert is in the chat room, the only person that has the testicular fortitude to actually sign in under a screen name is Vert. What up, Vert? Thank you so much for joining me. Can you hear me okay? Is my audio okay, Vert? Yo, Vert, can you help me out here? I just want to make sure that my audio is not chopped up or anything, because if not, I'll just go on a landline. Okay, even on your shitty internet connection, you can hear me okay. Sweet. Glad to have you here, Vert. Feel free to call in if you'd like. I'm not going to talk about PayPal 14, okay, so I was on this Russell League radio bullshit, and they asked me about Stanley Cohen, who is a friend of mine. He's an attorney. He represented one of the PayPal 14, that being Mercedes Hafner Blabidi Blue. And, oh, hey, speaking of which, Absalom's here. Great to have you, Absalom. Thank you, folks, for Lynn Noxas, thank you, and Vert is here, and we have some lurkers that are guests that, you know, either they don't know how to do Blog Talk Radio, or they're scared to log in because they think I'm a honeypot, whatever, people think I work for the FBI. You know what, I've been accused of working for the FBI and the Russians by the same person in the same Twitter thread. So, kids, let your imaginations run wild. So, Stanley Cohen. All right. I was asked, okay, there was an article that came out, apparently a blog. It wasn't even an article. It was a blog. I don't even know what the site was. If somebody in the chat room can find it and paste it in there, I'll read it. But I looked it over really fast, and it just looked like a hit piece on Stanley Cohen. Now, apparently Stanley has owes the IRS some back taxes. Who doesn't? Who doesn't owe the IRS something? And somebody published a hit piece on Stanley, and I was on this other radio program where they were asking me what I thought about it. And I was attempting to tell them what I thought about it, and I was rudely interrupted by a man who is white and pretends to be a black Jesus. He calls himself Nigger Christ. He's basically a wannabe Wigger, and he wastes a lot of time on the internet making horrid, horrid, horrid hip-hop songs that that defame all sorts of people, myself included. And Shadow DXS, who is a fat person who's 24 years old, who doesn't know anything other than Google operating systems and insane clown posse. So I got a little bit fed up with being interrupted by those individuals. So I decided, you know what? If anybody really wants to hear what I think about Stanley Cohen, they can come over to my show. I'll do a quick 30-minute show. I'll tell you what my take is, and you can just, you know, run with it. Now, what I was trying to – now, the question was, you know, what do you think about Stanley Cohen owing back taxes? Now, allegedly, he owes, what, $3 million in back taxes? Jesus Christ, I wish I fucking owed $3 million in back taxes. That means I would have made, what, $30 million? So Stanley's doing all right. Now, people don't like him because he's because some of the clients he's represented, like Hamas and Hitler and Mussolini and Pontius Pilate, you know. I mean, these people are human beings. They deserve the right to be represented by somebody. And Stanley Cohen's the person that does it. And I've met Stanley multiple times. He's a great guy, very gracious, very, very nice guy, very cool. He's like, you know, one of these silver ponytailed hippie types left over from the counterculture who's, you know, just trying to kick ass as a lawyer. And he's a great guy. You know, maybe he forgot to pay his taxes. You know, we all make mistakes. You know, nobody's perfect. Anyway, now, the reason why I'm not worried about Stanley is because I know I'm privy to some information that pretty much would keep Stanley immune to any sort of prosecution. Now, I can't say that there isn't some aspiring attorney out there, U.S. attorney out there, that really wants to get him. And maybe they will. Who knows? But I have some inside information, and I will give you some snippets of that. I can tell you that I learned from Stanley Cohen that he has – okay, he's represented a lot of clients, a lot of very controversial clients. And one of his and several of his clients include Albanians. And me, myself, being of Albanian descent via Italy, I found this very intriguing, and I was very interested in the story he had to tell me when he took me to dinner. And essentially what Stanley did in a nutshell is, if you flash back to, I think, 1996 or 7, when the Kosovo War civil war in Yugoslavia was heating up, there was a lot of pressure for the United States to intervene in this war in Yugoslavia. But Bill Clinton decided he was not going to send troops. And so instead of sending troops, he did what Barack Obama is doing today. Barack Obama, instead of putting Marines in Syria, putting Marines in these Tunisia or Egypt or whatever, or Lebanon, they sent in a ragtag crew of freedom fighters. And this crew of freedom fighters included some 300 ethnic Albanians. I'm not, no, 3,000, approximately 3,000 ethnic Albanians. And they were supported by the State Department. And basically, you know, just the same way that the Al-Nusra Front is being, you know, guided by the CIA and the U.S. in Syria, these Kosovo freedom fighters were being supported by the U.S. as well. Now, when stuff like this happens, the things you don't see behind the scenes are things like, it's fine to share. I think it's fine to share. I'm not going to get into to big details, or significant details. Basically, these Albanians went to fight for the American interest in Yugoslavia in Kosovo. And so basically, you know, these people had needed some sort of legal representation to sort of, you know, this is kind of all done under the table. So they wanted some sort of reassurance that they were going to be, you know, they weren't going to be left out to dry, hung out to dry. So there was essentially the deal was that these Albanians would fight for the American interests in Kosovo. And the deal was if they were to survive, all the survivors of these freedom fighters, if they were to survive, they would get asylum in the United States of America. No questions asked. If they survived, they would be transported to the United States of America and given total immunity, automatic citizenship, but basically these Albanian fighters would be allowed to have safe haven in the United States. And part of this one stipulation was that they could never leave the United States. If they left the United States, they were on their own. So Stanley Cohen was part of a legal team that helped negotiate this deal. And so basically what happened is these freedom fighters went in there to fight, and about, I think it was something like 1,800 survived. And, of course, right around that time was when the Monica Lewinsky scandal broke. And we all remember when Monica Lewinsky scandal broke, suddenly Bill Clinton was scrambling to bomb the Al Qaeda, and then he decided to send troops into Kosovo, and all of a sudden he became a war hawk because he got his DNA was showed up on some chick's fucking dress. And so at that point, the freedom fighters were alleviated, and the survivors, which happened to be, I believe, something around the number of 1,800, all were allowed asylum in the United States. And some of them, and they live here in the United States today. And I have met some of them, and they've told me the story, and they are fully indebted to Stanley Cohen. And it's deals like this that Stanley Cohen is a part of. This is just one deal. And it's deals like this that will give him some leverage from any sort of prosecution as far as like back taxes and all that shit. So I can't predict what's going to happen. I don't know that he's going to be, audited or whatever, but I can tell you he's got some leverage. I know that for a fact. And that's it. So I have a few people in the chat room. If anybody in the chat room has a question, you can feel free to ask. I do have callers. I'll take a caller right now. Go ahead, caller unscreened. You're on the air.
All I can say is when the IRS comes after you, you're fucked. And that's your day. KX1.
That was KX1. Okay, goodbye. Oh, shit. I just hung up on somebody else. KX1, that was such a chump move. Like, you could have stayed on and talked and asked me questions, but you just wanted a cheap shot, so... All right, you got your cheap shot. Congratulations. KX1, how's Big Daddy Kane doing? Yeah, I'd love to know how Big Daddy Kane is doing. Anybody in the chat room have a question? J. Geronimo just tuned in and trying to figure out about Stanley. Geronimo, I just finished giving my spiel on Stanley. Essentially, I believe that Stanley has enough leverage from the work he's done to actually help the U.S. government that I don't think he's going to be in that big of trouble, but who knows? I mean, Wesley Snipes got put in jail for tax evasion. Lauryn Hill got put in jail for tax evasion. So I don't know. Stanley might be in good company. It's whatever. But if you guys want to call in, and if anybody wants to call in and comment or say hello, you have a question about Stanley or anything else, doesn't matter. We got 10 minutes to go plus overtime, so I don't have anybody lined up right now to call in. I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to play a song dedicated to Stanley Cohen. I had the pleasure of hanging out with him in New York last month. And he lives down in the Lower East Side, and walking home from his place, which he was gracious enough to let me spend the night because I didn't have a place to stay, I passed through Avenue B. And so I'm going to dedicate this song to Stanley Cohen. It's called Avenue B, and it's by Gogol Bordello.
Ay, 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 ooh, ooh, ooh. Ay, 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 not me, not you. Ay, 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 ay.
I was in New York, and I heard that the down there near Avenue B, down by Tompkins Square Park, I heard that they were going to get rid of the Joe Strummer Memorial mural, and that really bummed me out when I read that on the internet like a year ago. And when I was walking back from Stanley's house, I walked through Tompkins Square's Park, and I walked over to where the mural was, and it was there. In fact, it had been, like, repainted. So it's there. Joe Strummer's mural is still there. Anyway, so I asked Vert, and Vert was concerned that I shouldn't have been talking about Stanley's prior cases. But I said, were you okay with that? And he says, yeah, most was obvious except you sleeping with Stan. I did not sleep with Stan. I crashed out on his couch. Dude, he took me to this Italian restaurant, and I made the mistake of drinking some cherry grappa, and it fucked me up, dude. I mean, it was like, when in Rome, you know, fucking drink grappa. And I should have known better, because everybody at the table ordered grappa except for Stanley. Stanley's like, no, I got to wake up in the morning to work. And I was like, come on, dude, it's just a drink. And he's like, no, it's okay. You enjoy it. It's fine. And I was like, all right, whatever, dude. So I drank this cherry grappa, and dude, one glass plus there's actual cherries in the bottom that soak up all the grappa, and you eat the cherry, and the cherry just bursts with grappa, and I was completely fucked up. I hadn't had grappa since I was in Italy. I was in Italy in 2003, and that was the first time I ever tried it. And so I thought, you know, hey, I haven't done it in a long time. Let's do this. And it fucked my shit up, man. I can't handle my liquor, and grappa is fucking hardcore. But it was great. It was a great experience. The restaurant he took me to was fantabulous. And I think we're just about out of time. Wow, that's the end of the show. Shit. Anyway, I want to thank everybody for coming through, listening to the show. It was fun to, you know, I just wanted to get that out there. I tried to get it out on another show, and they didn't let me talk. So there it is. You heard it. And I'm going to sign off now. And I want to dedicate this last tune to Claypool Cellars, the folks at Claypool Cellars. They were gracious enough, well, and also Sick Girl. Sick Girl ordered me a bottle of Claypool Cellars wine. This time I got the Purple Pachyderm, and it's a 2010 Hearst Vineyard Russian River Valley Pinot Noir, and it was damn good. And I also got a T-shirt. If you go on my Twitter account, Vince in the Bay, it's twitter.com/VinceInTheBay. You can see, and go to my pictures. You can see photos of the wine that I got and the T-shirt and everything. So that's it. I'm getting the fuck out of here. Thanks for coming out. Check me out sometime soon. Actually, you know, I think I might do a tiny chat tonight. If you're listening. I'll make that announcement on Twitter. Until next time, I'm Vince in the Bay. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/VinceInTheBay. Peace out, everybody. This is dedicated to the folks at Claypool Cellars. Thank you so much for your generosity and your amazing wine. And I love my T-shirt. So peace out, everybody. Here's Electric Uncle Sam.